faithful this morning. All right, take your Bibles, open to James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. And we're going to look this morning at a message entitled Doers of the Word. Doers of the Word. James chapter 1. And we'll find our place in verse 21. James 1, 21. Reading down through verse number 25. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Let's pray. Father, thank you now for the good word of God, and thank you for its power. Lord, thank you for the workings of the Spirit of God to bring about a transformation in the lives of your children. And Father, Lord, we know you've set a goal for the believer, and that goal is far beyond just to rescue from hell, but it's a goal to transform our lives into the image of thy dear Son. And Lord, I pray now that, God, we might have truly open ears to hear, that, God, we would not be deceived, but yet we would come with true hearts, and we would draw near with full assurance of faith. That, God, we might recognize that you are doing a work in us. And, Lord, I pray that there might be liberty in the house of God for that work to take place. Lord, I pray for the person that may be here today, and the truth is they need to be converted, need to be born again, need to be saved. God, would you convict their hearts today? And, Lord, would you help those that are struggling hard in life, whether it be circumstances and trials and troubles, whether it be temptations, Lord, whether it be transgressions, I pray that you might bring liberty to our souls today through the Word of God. And Lord, help us now that we might truly engage a time of worship of our Savior. Bless us and help us now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I suppose that if you look at verse 22, you'll probably have somewhat of the meat of James' letter to the believers. That his desire is that we be doers of the Word. I think certainly that captures for us, listen, so much of what the Bible is compelling and teaching and instructing in our lives that we might actually do the Word of God. Most of our trouble today in our Christian life is not usually from what we've not heard, not been taught. It's just simply we don't do what we have been taught, what we have heard. That's our biggest struggles in this life. Most of the time, a message from the Bible is just reinforcing something we already knew and something that we should have done. And so today we look in the book of James and we find out here that he has a great burden because he sees, like you and I see today, in the context of Christianity, in the realm of the church, there's a whole lot of saying but not a whole lot of doing. And that was a great burden here in this letter by the Holy Ghost through James. Matter of fact, chapter 2 picks up on that. And he talks about that, listen, saying it is very easy, but doing it is more the reality of what is our faith. And he goes on to say here that faith without works is dead. If there's nothing there that supports a transformation, a change in our life, then it's perhaps we hadn't been changed and hadn't been transformed and not really saved. And so faith begins with hearing, and the hearing the Word of God. And so the first thing I want you to see here about being a doer of the Word is there must be a receiving of it. Notice what he says. He said in verse 21 that we are to lay apart filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted Word. There can be no transformation. There'll be no doing of the Word of God unless there is a receiving of it. And I'm afraid that's where the buck stopped for many people. They just simply is gone in one ear, as we used to hear, and gone out the other. There has been no real reception. It may have spent a few moments in the mind of being entertained, but having taken hold of it as God's message to me and what God has to say to me and God what God wants of me and what He wants me to do, listen, there's very little receiving of it. And so He says there must be a lay aside. That is, there is a hindrance to receiving the Word of God. There is a stoppage. There is a blockage. There is a hindrance to receiving the Word of God. We know that the world and the flesh and the devil and transgression and sin deafens the ear to what God has to say. It's just automatic. You don't have to think about it. A person, listen, who is filled with transgression and is not repentant of it, has put up a wall of defense against the Word of God, and it has not penetrated their ears, much less their hearts. And so there must be a laying aside in order to receive. Now we look at the words He's chosen here, and He uses the word filthiness. If you'll trace the word filth and filthiness in the Bible, it usually has a context. That context of the word filth usually refers to a claimed righteousness that has been soiled. In other words, He's addressing here that many claim to be good and claim to be righteous, but the truth is, in light of the Scriptures, in light of the Word of God and the Holy Ghost, any form of self-righteousness has been spotted by the world, and in the sight of God is a filthy rags. And so there cannot be a receiving of the Word if you don't think you need it. If someone says, hey, it's time you take a shower. Well, I just took one. I'm clean. There's no perception of any filth. And in the eyes of man, many times we come in and we have dressed ourselves in the robe of our goodness, and we don't think we need anything. Matter of fact, many times in a service like this, we're thinking more about the fellow a few aisles over. I hope he's listening today. We bring our pitchforks rather than our rakes. And so we're always thinking, well, I hope they heard that. I hope they got it. He's telling us that is filthiness when you see yourself as not having needed anything or needing the Word of God, or listen, I don't need to hear from heaven. I don't need to repent of anything. I don't need to change anything. I don't need to go to the altar, but boy, they sure do. Listen, you know what God says? That's filthiness. That's filthiness. Why? You're trusting in your own righteousness. God said your righteousness is a filthy rag. You need the righteousness of Jesus. As I mentioned again, I've mentioned several times here lately in the past few messages, we like to compare ourselves with the worst of society. God compares you to the best, and that's Himself. And listen, I'm not as bad as other people are. That's not the question. Are you as good as Jesus? God forbid, no. Then there is a need for growth, for change, for correction in my life. I don't care if you got saved last week. You've been saved 50 years. There is a progression that all of us need that to be more like Jesus. We still have problems in our life. We still have weaknesses. We have failures. We have things that are our besetting sins. As we run this race, there are things that trip us up. There are things we have problems with. We've not had victory over it. We still don't have victory over it because we've never laid it aside. It will become a blockade. It will become a hindrance from receiving the Word of God. Lest you lay aside the fact that I stand in need, O Lord. I stand in need. God, I need to hear Your voice. I need to know what You have to say to me because there is a need for growth and change in my life. So that has to be our spirit, has to be our heart, has to be our mentality. When I come in the house of God, listen, I have to come with the attitude, with the prayer, with the spirit of the fact that I need to hear from God. I know something's wrong. I may not be aware of it, but God, show me what it is. When you get sick, you go to the doctor and say, you say, Doc, something's wrong. I don't know what it is, but something's wrong. And you depend on Him. You want Him, listen, to begin a diagnosis to tell you why. Because I want it corrected. I want it relieved. I want to return to good health. I want to return to soundness, to wholeness. Listen, when I come to the house of God, every person walks through this door, we have a need today. We got things that are wrong. Amen. We do. Every one of us. We do. Probably as we come in, we don't think so, or we don't care. And listen, the truth is, we have to lay that aside. Lay aside the spirit and attitude that I don't need anything, that other people do. Listen, that everything's fine, that I'm right with God, everything's as it should be. No, listen, God is doing a work. He's making you like Christ. I'm not there yet. You're not there yet either. And listen, there are things in your life that bring hurt. They're bringing damage. They're hindering your growth and development. They're hindering your fruit bearing. They're hindering your testimony. They're hindering your power with God to influence others for Christ. Listen, all of us have that, and we have to come and lay aside that self-promotion, that sense of self-worthiness, or that we're fine, or that we're good enough, or we've gone further than others, we've reached the end of the road. But listen, we have to come and recognize I need God to help me. I need God to speak to me. And we come desiring it. We come asking for it. We come praying for it. Seek and you shall find. If you really desire God to speak to you, He will. Most people don't really desire that. Listen, that's not really why they came. And so he said, there must be a laying aside of this filthiness. There must be also here a laying aside of the superfluity of naughty. Superfluity, just like it sounds, it means an overabundance, spilling over, pouring out of naughtiness. The word naughtiness has to do with things that are worthless, things that have bad behavior, things that have no virtue. As you look at the word in the context of the New Testament, it relates to malice or having ill will or mistreatment of others. It has to do with not looking upon others with the kindness, compassion, and sense of respect that we ought to. In other words, that we have misused, we have abused, or we have not treated people rightly or fairly. He said there needs to be a lay aside of this abounding bad behavior as it relates to other people. You say, preacher, I haven't been bad to other people. You haven't? Listen, remember this. It may not have come out of your mouth, but Jesus already told us, if it was in your heart and in your mind, you're already guilty. There are some people you told off, but it never got out of your mind. Right. There are some people you've already punched right in the mouth. You just never got the hand up to do it. There are people that we did not show kindness to. There are people we took advantage of. There are people we didn't treat fairly. That is all a part of our life that we live. And so he said all that has to be laid aside. Lay aside. Listen, he's looking at the positive and the negative. And this relates to our ministry, our service toward others. He said you abound with this naughtiness, and that is not treating people, not doing that which God would have us do, listening, caring for them, having compassion upon them, helping them, serving them, all a part of the ministry of a child of God. We have many opportunities, listen, to reach out to people, but listen, we went about our merry way doing our business and had no time for anybody else and did not show the kindness, compassion, the love of Christ that we should have, and we sure didn't tell them anything about the gospel and didn't share with them anything about Christ. And so, listen, he said, that needs to be laid aside. I have a responsibility toward this world. We're ambassadors for Christ. And so he said, listen, you need to lay aside that and receive. And receive the engrafted word. Now, I love the use here, the term engrafted. It's a term associated with the growth and development of trees. Matter of fact, I saw something the other day that went with the message that I had never heard of before. They have developed trees. You can order them. You can order apple trees today that have been grafted in, and they produce four different kinds of apples on the same tree. They've also done it with peaches. Four different kinds. Man, that's the way to go, isn't it? Because my wife and I do not agree on apples. I'm a sweet variety. She's a sour. Okay? She's a Granny Smith person. And I like the expensive one. But because it's very sweet. And so we don't agree. I'd like to have, one of those trees with four different kinds. And I wouldn't mind the peaches either. I like the freestones the best, but I will eat the others. And it'd be nice to have a variety. So he uses the word grafted. He said, receive the engrafted word. That is, listen, that the nature of that which has been brought in and has been infused into ours. That is a perfect picture of what Peter described for us as the divine nature of God. You know what? Salvation, as I preach all the time, is not a man making a simple decision not to go to hell. It is a miracle of God where the Holy Ghost convicts the sinner, draws him to Christ, and when he calls upon Christ to save him, a miracle of God takes place, a new birth, and a man now possesses not only the Holy Spirit of God, he has the divine nature of God implanted, infused in his life. And Peter said, we have a divine nature. The nature of God has been grafted in. And there what happens? Then we are able to produce the fruit of the Spirit of God because the nature of God has been grafted in. And here, what a wonderful picture. He said we are to receive the engrafted Word of God that we might bring forth that nature of God, that it might produce the fruits of God's Spirit in your life, out of your vessel, that God will produce the things that only He can make, only He can do, things of His virtue will come out of your life. What a miracle. What a miracle. You see, you and I, as natural men, cannot and will not love our enemies. But you know who can do it? God. God. And so, when the Word is engrafted in, you know what God does? He brings forth a divine fruit growing on your tree. And that enables you to love your enemies. You see, all these virtues belong to Christ. And the reason they come out of you is not because you have a sweet disposition and a wonderful natural character. No, it's because God is in you and He's produced it in you. It is His nature, His virtue. It is of His Spirit. Then notice, not only is there to be a receiving, but secondly, there is a redeeming. The word redeem has many definitions, but one of them is this: to perform what is promised or professed. To perform what is promised or professed. I call myself a Christian today. Do you call yourself a Christian? Then we are to produce what we have professed. We are to be Christians. If we say we're Christians, we ought to do what Christians do. Amen. There ought to be a saying and a doing. A simple yet profound statement. A powerful statement that addresses the need of today's church, that we actually perform that which we profess, that we actually do the things we have heard. And so what does he say? He says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. As a word study here, I looked up the words here, but be ye. Be ye is a word that is a progression. That is, we are conforming to the life of Christ. The Word of God, as we receive it, as it is grafted in, it is conforming, it is shaping, it is molding our life. You remember what happened to Jeremiah? God was speaking to him about the nation and sent him down to the potter's house and watched him work pottery. And what did God do? God gave him an illustration. That as the potter was working, he found that piece of clay that he was molding was marred pretty badly. What he did was he crushed it and started over again and made a vessel of honor. And so God told him that's a picture of the nation of Israel. It's not repairable. It has to be made over again. When God looked at your life as a natural sinner, God realized your life is not repairable. He had to scrap it and make it all over again. And so the Bible said that salvation for us today is not reforming what was there, but God making something new and a transformation. And so what is the great message of Jesus Christ? He said to Nicodemus, ye must, what? Be born again. It is not reforming and doing better. It's God starting over and transformation by the new birth of Jesus Christ. And so we have here that this word is a progression. Be ye. To complete, to conform. Your life and mine is unfinished. God is still working on me, as the little songs our children used to sing. Listen, God is still doing a work. There's still a transformation. The potter's still at the wheel, and he is making vessels of honor. And so he says here that we are to be doers of the word. That doer means a progression, a continuation, a completion of what was started. And so listen, if you have not grown, if you have not changed, you are not a doer of the word. Isn't that simple? That's what the word here means. But be ye doers. That is a continual progression until finished. If you've stopped building, if you've stopped growing, if you said this is the end of the line, then you're not a doer of the word. You may listen to it every Sunday, but you're not a doer of the word. The word is going to continue to make progression, transformation, changing, molding our life. And so what does he tell us in the scripture? He's saying, listen, that we are not to be deceived. Don't deceive yourself. Don't deceive yourself is that you are a Christian in good standing with God and that you are right with the Lord and that you're a doer if you're not being transformed, if you're not changing. He said you're deceiving yourself. You're deceiving yourself. Listen, you may come to church, but you got nothing out of it. You may have heard the sermon, but it never got anywhere because it didn't bring about a change. The Word of God, wherever it's manifest, wherever faith is found, always changed every situation. Anytime the Word of God fell on the ears of faith, something changed. Are you with me? Anytime the Word of God fell on the ears of faith, something changed. Always. That's the power of the Word of God. And listen, if it falls on us Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and we never change, we are not doers of the Word. And so this is what James is indicating. It's kind of like when we went back to the conference this year over in Winston-Salem. The natives call it Winston for short. And when we were over there, we stay out by the mall. We always have for some reason. But anyway, we take cheaper. I said, okay. We take 40. We cut up north on 52, get on 40 business. And then we head up 158 to Walkertown. And we made that same trip all these years. You know what I said to her this year? I said, Highway 52 through Winston must be a 100-year project. If you've ever been there, it must be a 100-year project. We've been making that trip for 10 years, and I see very little difference when we first started. It's still torn up. It's still a mess. It's still a nightmare. It's just horrendous. And I tell you, if they've made progress, I ain't seen much. It must be a 100-year project, is all I got to say. And I mean, it's not, we're not talking about that big a distance. From the time you get off 40 and go right on into town, it is a disaster. Has been at least for 10 years, I know. Listen, you and I today, sometimes God looks at us, and you know what? We look like Highway 52. Oh, my word, potholes, changing lanes, big dividers here, where that over there, lines ain't painted, can't see where the one lane is from the other, all kind of mess, bumps in the road, difficulties. And listen, if we're a Christian, if we're a doer of the word, we can't help but change. If you receive it, it brings change. And that's the simple thing here. James is indicating. He said, don't be deceived about this thing. Just because you attend Sunday school and you attend the church service, listen, you may have the audible ears to hear what's being said, but you haven't received it. He said you have to receive it. When it's received, it always changes situations, changes circumstances, changes people. Anytime the Word of God is received. And so he said, listen, don't be just a hearer, but be a doer. A doer is an indicator that you actually took it to heart, that you received it down in your soul, and that you appreciated it. That's God's message to you, that God was speaking to me, and God spoke to me personally, and God addressed my need, and God showed me what needed to change. And listen, when you receive it, then the changes are made in our life. And so he compels us. Not only is a progression, it is a production. The word doer here. The word doer is an interesting word. The original word is the word for a poet. You say, what does that have to do with it? Well, It's the idea of the word to perform. To being a doer is someone who performs. In other words, he doesn't just talk about it. There comes a time. Listen, it has to be an activity, an action. You have to put up or shut up, somebody says. There has to be some kind of an activity, a doing of it. And so the idea of the word here is to perform. And the performance is this, that as we are doers of the word, it has the idea of being creative, of having zeal, of being vibrant with purpose, with inspiration. And it's kind of like if you went to someone who was inspired and sat down on a canvas to paint. You look at it, you may not have been inspired, but he was, depending on how good they are. I'll tell you one thing. When I was, I guess it's been 15, 20, no, probably, I don't know, 20-something years ago, we took a trip. Granddad and Ken and I went down, and we were just going to kind of tour the west coast of Florida. Granddad said, I'm paying. I said, I'm going. And so we headed out. He said, you do the driving, I'll do the paying. We worked that out. So we headed out that way. And Ken convinced us to stop and wanted to see an art museum in, I think it was Sarasota. And, you know, I'm not a real bona fide art person. You know, I thought, well, it makes him happy. That's fine. And so we went in there. I'll tell you what, one of the best trips I ever made in my life. Because we didn't know it at the time, but they had a borrowed exhibit of the painters of the 15th, 16th century. It'll mess you up if you ever see somebody painted then. Can't nobody paint now. We saw paintings the size of this wall that were so precise they looked like photographs. Not this marred, you know, where you can barely make it out. Hey, that looks like a tree, and I guess that's maybe water. And you know, it's become, no offense to painters, I think abstract is an excuse because you can't paint well. But anyhow, but anyway, I mean, and you know what they were? Brother Tim, they were all Bible scenes out of the pages of the Bible. I'm going to tell you, when I saw what a masterpiece was, I said, I have seen a masterpiece. And we went through that, and every one of those paintings, just about every one, was a scene from the Scriptures. And I'm telling you, those paintings, many of them big as this wall, and you walk up, the rope was in 5 feet of it, and they were so precise in their painting, they looked like pictures. Like photographs. I have never seen anything could compare to that whatsoever. And it absolutely amazed me. For I had seen truly the masterpiece. And you know what? What I saw behind those doers was a creativity and a zeal and a precision. What they did was with inspiration and purpose. That's the idea behind this word doer. It contrasts, listen, a formal habit of lifeless religious motion. Are you following me? When James says, be doers of the word, he's not talking about a lifeless habit of a bunch of robots who just go through the motions. Here we come in church. Few to the left, third seat. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. We get up, put our dollar in the plate, walk out. Here we go. We have done our works. That's not what James is talking about. With a doer of the word, it is someone who is a performer. It means there is creativity, there is zeal, there is inspiration. There's vibrancy. He said, be a doer of the word. Not a lifeless, formal habit of religious activity. Someone said this, you can plant a tree and it will grow. You can set a post and it will rot. You and I are progressively to be a doer of the word. That is, that we are to be changing, being transformed. And as we do those things, we are to do it with zeal, with vibrancy, with creativity. Listen, because it was God, and this is what God desires, and this is what God has seen in my life, and this is what God wants of me. And so it's not a dread, it's not a formality, it's not a have to, but no, it's a creativity. It's for His glory and for His honor. It's for my Savior. It's for His cause. It's for the blood that He shed. It's for the salvation of souls. It's for the advancement of the church. And so there's an activity of zeal and vibrancy, expectation, inspiration that all goes into the work of doing what God's Word wants me to do. What a contrast of most what goes on. You see, if we are receiving the Word, there's a progression that follows. Kind of like the farmer. One day, the Sunday school teacher went by to see the farmer, tried to encourage him to be more faithful. And the farmer looked, said to him, he said, "Well, I ain't making much progress in the Christian life, but at least I'm established." And so the Sunday school teacher said, "Well, we need to, it's good to be established, but you need to make progress." "Well, I understand." So he couldn't resist. About a month later, he was going by, and the farmer, this was years ago, the farmer was sitting on a wagon load of logs. And he had a team of mules, and he could tell he didn't give up because the wheels were in mud about halfway up. And all he'd done just sitting on the log. I guess he couldn't figure out what in the world he was going to do. He couldn't resist it and went by to make his point. And he made a little small talk. He said, "Well, I see one thing. You're not making much progress, but at least you're established." And he made his point across. You know what sometimes being established is? Stuck in the mud. Stuck in the mud. You plant a tree, it'll grow. Set a post, it'll rot. We're to be making progress in this Christian life, bearing forth the fruits unto God. And so he says, "Be ye doers, doers of the word." As I mentioned, that word doers associated with the actual poet. Matter of fact, it is the Greek word for where we get our word poet. And in the sense, it is giving beauty and rhyme and reason to all of our lives. That is, that being a doer of the word of God, you and I are taking the word of God and it's inspiring us, motivating us, encouraging us. Life has its troubles. Life has its trials. Life has its circumstances. But you know what happens? A doer of the word takes the word of God and listen creatively. He addresses his trial and his trouble, and he receives inspiration and encouragement. Listen, to keep on for the glory of God and to realize that God has a purpose and to keep a smile upon his face and keep a song in his heart. He keeps going for God. Why? Because the word of God has fed him, encouraged him, and inspired him. And so listen, and a poet is one who takes the circumstance of life and listen, he finds the good things and the inspirational things that come even from the providential circumstance of life. And so you and I take the word of God and it feeds our souls and helps us and strengthens us and encourages us even when times are bad and things are hard. Listen, God will give you a song. I like what happened one day on the years ago in the elevator of a large, very large building in a major city. The elevator operator, there was in the back of that multi-story building, and there, just as an attendant when people got on, would do all the floors and things for them. And so one day a visitor came in with a big, bright smile and said to the operator, "I don't guess you get much sunshine back here." And she said, "Only what some folk like you bring with them, sir. Only what you bring with them." And I thought, isn't that the ministry of the Christian? That in the people's worlds of struggle and toil and hardship and sorrow and suffering, that a Christian comes along, not that we're without our struggles and problems, but we just got fed by the Word of God. And the Son of God is shown upon our hearts. And listen, because of the Word of God and being a doer of it, we're able to come and bring courage and encouragement to the lives of people. That there's a God in heaven who loves you. And that, listen, He has a glorious purpose one day to deliver you, not only from the judgment of sin, but also from the presence and power of it. And one day, listen, we'll be free. Listen, and have this glorious liberty as the sons of God. And God has a purpose to redeem and to restore our lives. You see, this is not a formal, dry, deadbeat religion that inspires faith in this miserable world. It's that Spirit-filled life infused with the Word of God that brings a testimony that there's help with the Lord. There's blessing with the Savior. And so James says here, there needs to be a laying aside that we might receive the Word of God. And if we receive it, here's what's going to happen. We're going to be doers of it. Oh, not in the formal deadbeat religion of going through the motions, but no, a zeal, a creativity, an excitement where you and I allow the Word of God to feed our soul. And listen, we bring inspiration and we share it where we go. And just like those who come to bring the sunshine in to those in dark places, we point them toward Jesus Christ and the light that comes from the Word of God and share with them the great message of God's blessing and goodness. And listen, God uses His church as a mighty testimony for the glory of God, for the glory of the Savior, Jesus Christ. And so James is saying, listen, don't deceive yourself. Don't be self-deceived. If you're really receiving the Word of God, it's going to transform your life, and you're going to grow, and you're going to be a doer of the Word, not the cold, lifeless, formal, dead, dry motions of religion, but something that's been inspired by God, of helping, of blessing, of encouraging, strengthening, of sharing all that God has given us. Sometimes, listen, God feeds you something precious out of the Word of God. And listen, it overflows, and you can't help sometimes but share it. And sometimes, listen, you'll get up and say, honey, let me show you what God showed me today. And you go from that place of having met with Him, having received the Word of God. And God just inspires you, picks you up, and gives you a fervency, a zeal, a vibrancy, a life abounding. Listen, that's the testimony the world needs to hear from His church these days. Be a doer, not a hearer only. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for the good Word of God.